If you'll turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 5, and let's just bow in prayer. Father, as we just reflect back on our own spiritual walk, we can reflect on how you've encountered us, how you've grown us spiritually, how you've called us to be your children. And Father, tonight, as we reflect on the life of Peter and his encounter with you, we ask that you'd just speak into our lives. Lord, you know that there are key events in our life that, in a sense, move us up in our spiritual life. And oh God, I pray that tonight we would just be so sensitive to what your Spirit has to say to us. Father, we thank you that your word is true. And Lord, that you encourage us by your Spirit to be committed to you, to grow in you, and Lord, to bear fruit. And so, Father, we ask that you'd speak by your word. We pray this all in your precious name. Amen. Amen. Luke chapter 5. We're going to look at a landmark event in Peter's spiritual growth. And I'm sure as you reflect back on your own spiritual growth, God has done some amazing things. I hope he has. And the Lord is always taking us to a new level in our spiritual walk. That's certainly been true in my life and in folk around us. And perhaps this evening as you reflect, maybe you've become stagnant. At the beginning of the year, you've known that you've been in better places. And as we look at the story, you're going to discover that the heart of discipleship is Jesus speaking to you, come, follow me. Those are the three words that Jesus said to Peter. This last week we've been praying, we've had our prayer week. It's been a great time of just praying and seeking God's face. And God calls us to be kingdom citizens. He calls us to act in kingdom ways, to have kingdom vision, to move on with power. And there's always a call to discipleship, and we're going to see that as we look at this chapter, Luke chapter 5 and verse 1 to 11. If you've got an NIV, there are different versions of the NIV, just by the way. And my heading says, Jesus calls his first disciples. Luke chapter 5 and verse 1. One day as Jesus was standing at the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they'd done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you'll fish for people." In some translations say, "fish for men." So they pulled up their boats on the shore, left everything, and followed him. Now, it's interesting that the Lake of Gennesaret, it's got three different names. We know it as the Sea of Galilee, Tiberias, and Gennesaret. Gennesaret was a big plain on the west side of the sea. This place was 690 meters below sea level. It's one of the lowest places on earth. And there was this absolutely stunning plain. It's a really beautiful place. But what was spectacular in this case was not the place, but the person. And as we look and we survey what's going on in Luke chapter 5, we see people who are hungry for God's word. This day and age, we need to have the same appetite for God's word. And in verse 3, Jesus, we see, he asks them for their boats. Imagine you are a boat owner and Jesus comes to you and he asks you to use his boat, your boat, to preach. And we see in verse 3 that Jesus always asks us not for what we don't have, but what we do have. And I want to say this evening that that's very true in our spiritual walk. Jesus will never ask you for what you don't have. Rather, he will use what you do have. And a challenge right at the beginning is we need to offer what we do have to Jesus. And so we see that Jesus sets up his pulpits on the boat and he sits down to teach. And that's how the rabbis used to do it in those days. And in verse 4, we see the second, maybe I'll just read verse 4. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Here we begin to see it's actually the second calling of his disciples. And in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 9 and Mark chapter 1 verse 17, we see there was a first calling and a second calling. Jesus spoke to them about the commitment, but they went back to where they were before. And that's quite interesting. We'll see later why that's so important. The question I want to ask tonight is what happens when you really meet Jesus? You know, we can go to church, we can be amongst Christian people, and we know about Jesus, we encounter him in a sense, but we don't really meet personally with Jesus. But what happens when you really meet Jesus? I want to share 5 words tonight. 5 simple words as we encounter this. Peter encounters Jesus, and we follow the story. There were other disciples, obviously, and we just see what happens in Peter's life as he really encounters Jesus, and this time his life is turned around forever. The first word I want to share tonight is the word encounter. We see it in verse 4 and 5. Peter encountered Jesus Christ, the Word of God. Now, I want to say that our first step of spiritual growth is always to encounter the living God. It always starts here when we meet Jesus. We see in this passage that Jesus is preaching on the boat. He's speaking to everybody. He's borrowed Peter's boat, and he comes to the conclusion of his sermon. We don't know what the response was like. It doesn't tell us what happened. And then Jesus, after ministering to the whole crowd, he changes tack and he focuses on Peter. You see, his desire is to see life change in Peter's life. And I want to say this evening that Jesus will encounter you because he wants to change your life. Certainly, at this point, we see that Jesus has a word for Peter, a specific word. He's going to speak into Peter's life. And I believe tonight that Jesus can also speak into your life even as we sit here in this church. The King James says at this point in the King James, "Peter, launch out into the deep." And sometimes Jesus does that in our lives. He calls us, he stretches us because he actually wants to minister to us and to say something into our lives. But as Jesus does this and as he calls Peter to launch out into the sea, there's a problem in Peter's mind. You see, Jesus, the carpenter, the preacher man, is telling Peter, the master fisherman, what to do. He's telling him how to fish. Jesus wasn't a fisherman. He was a carpenter by trade. How ridiculous can you get? It's like me going to Richard and telling him how to do his science and whatever else he does. I haven't got the absolute clue what's going on. Or me going to the bank and telling him how to run his bank, or going to other folk and telling them how to run their business when I haven't got a clue. And this is exactly what happens in the situation. How ridiculous that the carpenter man can tell the fisherman how to fish. Every fisherman at this lake of Gennesaret knew that you caught fish at night in shallow water. And here we see that Jesus is telling Peter, the master fisherman, to fish in the daytime in deep water. It just didn't make sense. He was even telling Peter what to do with his own boat. Peter perhaps was thinking, maybe didn't say it aloud, "Jesus, it's okay to use my boat as a pulpit, But when it comes to fishing, that's my turf. I mean, isn't this my boat? Don't we do that? We tell Jesus to stay off our turf. Don't we separate the spiritual from the secular? We dichotomize, we separate Monday from Sunday. What is mine on Monday through Saturday and what is Jesus on Sunday? And certainly theologians call it the curse of religion. We say, yes, you can preach to me on Sunday, but don't invade my life on Monday morning. I'll show up, I'll give my tithe, but don't make more claims on my life. Don't make more claims on my assets. Don't make more claims on my time. And Peter begins his argument with Jesus. Lord, he says, we've fished all night. In other words, get off my territory. Verse 5, we see that Peter, he uses the but word. If you've got the King James, it says nevertheless. And Peter's about to argue with Jesus. But there's a strange authority in the tone of Jesus' voice. Unlike the rabbis of the day who never had spiritual authority. And Peter's a captive audience. Master, verse 5, denotes one who has authority. And certainly our discipleship, our spiritual growth is all about Jesus' authority in my life and in your life. Master, if you say so. Peter doesn't understand, but he obeys because maybe there was just an inkling of faith in his heart. And friends, God calls us to walk not by sight, but by faith. And certainly if he'd disobeyed at this point, he would never ever have participated in this absolutely extraordinary miracle. And friends, when Jesus begins to speak in your life, if you don't listen, you will miss out on the miracles of Jesus in your life. The King James's point says, at your word. The Apostle Paul, he grasps this truth in Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Peter encountered the word of God, not just the spoken word, but the living word in the person of Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus is God's word to man. And certainly the writer to Hebrews captures this incredible truth about Jesus in the very first verse of Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1. It says the following: in the past, God spoke to our forefathers at many times and at various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken through his Son. You see, Jesus is God's final word to us. He's the word of God. He's the final revelation. And the point here is, Jesus is God's word. He's God's message to you. I ask this evening, have you really encountered this person, Jesus, the Word of God? Has he spoken into your life in a real way? You see, God delights to speak into people's lives. He spoke into Abram's life and he became Abraham, the father of a nation. He spoke into Moses' life in the middle of a desert, the least likely place you'd expect God to speak. And he comes along and he finds Moses, it says us in the Bible, in the backside of the desert. And he makes this man, Moses, a bondage breaker. He speaks into Saul's life, the persecutor, and he becomes Paul, the greatest missionary perhaps that has ever lived. I can go on and on. Luther, Wesley, he speaks today. He speaks into your life and he speaks into my life. Do you know what? When God speaks, He invades your life. Monday to Sunday will never ever be the same. The second word I want to look at this evening, the first one is encounter. The second is realization. Peter, for the first time, realized who Jesus really was. Let's look at verse 6 and 7. When they done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. The penny began to drop in Peter's mind who Jesus really was. You see, Jesus wasn't just the carpenter from Nazareth. He wasn't just the charismatic preacher of Galilee. Peter, for the first time, he realized that this man in front of him was, in fact, the Word of God. I love John chapter 1 and verse 1 because it captures this immense, great truth. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And friends, we need to capture the enormity of John's introduction in the prologue of the Gospel of John, of who Jesus really is. He's not simply a man. He was the God-man, the Messiah, the Lord of Lords, and the King of Kings. Peter is actually overwhelmed by the unimaginable grace of God. Because here we see that Jesus performs a miracle in his area of expertise. Now, if it came to John T, he'd do something amazing with music. Or whatever it is, whatever is special and is your expert area, Jesus comes and he uses even that. The second word is a realization. This leads me to the third word. Repentance. As Peter realized who Jesus really was, it cast a light on who Peter really was. Peter confessed his failure. What is significant, as I said earlier on, is that this is Peter's second calling. We see the first in Matthew 4 and Mark 1. He'd gone with Jesus to Capernaum. He'd heard him preach. He'd been there. He'd seen. But after all that, and after, in a sense, encountering Jesus in a certain way, he goes back to his fishing. God had called him. Jesus had called him. But he went back to fishing. Perhaps he said to Jesus, "Lord, you called me to be a fisherman of men. And I failed. I went back to fish for fish. I thought I knew that sort of trade, but I guess I don't." I want to say this evening that maybe God has called you, whether it's to be His child, to be a child of God, or maybe He's called you to serve Him or to be something for Him in His kingdom, and we're talking about kingdom things this week. Maybe He's called you, but like Peter, you've gone back. We all know where we stand with God, and at times we seem to slip back to where we were before Jesus spoke into our lives. Has Jesus called you and you've somehow gone back to fishing for fish? Maybe Jesus has reached out to you and you've turned your back. Maybe Jesus has called you to a particular ministry and it's been tough, it's been hard, and you've simply dropped out. Maybe you've become a Christian, you've seen some works, but maybe it's a long time and you've got tired. Maybe you've been a faithful member of this church, but not a faithful disciple. And maybe you even are praying fast and loose with God. And like Peter, Jesus has called you, but you've gone back. I want to say this evening that Jesus is speaking to you. He's calling you to a new level of commitment and spirituality, a whole new level, but there's more than that. Peter had to come to terms with his own sinfulness. And I want to say to you, when we encounter God and we experience His glory and His holiness, it has to bring us to the point of recognizing our own sinfulness. We cannot stand in God's presence and not realize that we are not sinners. It's absolutely impossible. You see, when we see ourselves in the light of the glory of God, we realize our need. I remember some time ago I read one of John MacArthur's sermons, and he quoted a situation. He said there was a man who claimed to meet God every morning while he was shaving and felt good about himself. And the response was this: if you really encounter God, you'll fall down on your knees. Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 5, after Isaiah encountered God in all His glory, after he saw this incredible, holy, perfect, glorious God, he cries out in Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 5, "Woe to me," I cried, "I am ruined, for I'm a man of unclean lips, and I live amongst the people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." The unclean lips refer to the person because that is representative of their lives. And verse 8, the text tells us that Peter falls at Jesus' feet and he says, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." You know, this is the turning point of Peter's life. Jesus was taking him to a new level in his Christian walk. And I want to say this evening that if you don't confess your sin, you can never move up in your spiritual commitment to the Lord. The third word is repentance. The fourth word tonight is commission. You see, Jesus speaks into his life. Peter repents. And the next step is to be commissioned by Jesus. Jesus sets Peter apart. Let verse 10 be, the second part of verse 10, sink into your hearts. "Then Jesus said to Simon, 'Don't be afraid. From now on you will fish for people,'" and some translations say men. That's the heart of discipleship. When we encounter God, God sends us on a mission. I want to say tonight that if you've really encountered Jesus, you cannot stay where you are. It's absolutely impossible. Let me ask you tonight, and I'm not putting you on a guilt trip, but how many people have you shared your testimony to? How many people have you led to the Lord and shared about the grace that you've experienced yourself? How many people are you maybe discipling in your life? We've been looking this last week at two great things in the Bible. There's the great commandment. There's the great commission. In Matthew 22, verse 37 and verse 38, we read about the great command. Can you just move it down? Thank you. There you go. The great command, Matthew 22, 37 and 38. "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind." And then the next verse continues, and "love your neighbor as yourself." Love God, love people. And then the Great Commission, Matthew 28, 18 to 20. "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I will be with you until the end of the age." We've got a mission statement that we are working on in this church, and it's like this: love God, love people, serve nations. You know, if you want to be a kingdom person, that really boils it down. God is calling us not just to warm the seats of a church in the evening when it's cold. God is sending us out to be fishermen of men. And certainly Peter, as we look at the passage, he became a fisherman of men. But I want to say tonight there's another fisherman. Read about that in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 26. And there it tells us that Satan desires to take you captive
to his will. You see, he has a hook and a bait out there, and he wants to bait you and hook you up with the things of the world. But you know, God's hook is greater. It's called the cross. And I ask you tonight, which hook are you on? Are you on Satan's hook that is tempting you to live in the world and make a worldly success of your life? Or are you on the hook of the cross and you've dedicated your life to Christ? There's one last word tonight, and that's commitment. In verse 11, we see the second part. It says they left a few things. Is that what it says? What does it say? They left everything and they followed Jesus. This morning we spoke about that. Seek first. That's priority. The kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything will be added unto you. That's what we spoke about this morning. You see, to be a kingdom person, you put God first. It doesn't mean you don't eat or you don't live or you don't work. It doesn't mean that. But as we saw this morning, there are priorities. Seek first the kingdom of God. And so we see they left everything and they followed Jesus. I was challenging my prep as I was preparing a sermon, a story about John Wesley, the great Methodist. And he said the following. Our society, in other words, our local churches, were formed from those who were wandering upon the dark mountains that belonged to no church, but were awakened by the preaching of the Methodists, who pursued them through the wilderness of this world to the highways and the hedges, to the markets and the friars, to the hills and the dales, who set up a standard of the cross in the streets and the lanes of the cities, in barns and farmers' kitchens. You know, these people in the day of Wesley were so committed to God, they went everywhere and they went after everybody. And I want to say to you this evening that Jesus wants you to get on board. Now, it's significant that the priests were chosen as young boys. The cream of the crop became preachers or priests at least in Jesus' day. To become a priest, if you're a Levite, was every young boy's desire. But you know what? Peter wasn't good enough to be chosen as a priest. He was rejected by the religious establishment. But you know what? Jesus called him. And I want to say to you tonight, you might say to yourself, I'm not good enough. I'm not clever enough. I don't speak well enough. I don't do this and that. And Jesus will never ever call me beyond being a child of God. I want to say to you tonight that if you're available, Jesus will call you to be a fisherman, a fisher of men. As we close, won't you look at this word commitment? Jesus wants all of you. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for those words in 2 Corinthians 6, 1 to 3. Which says that now is the time of God's favor. Now is the time of salvation. And friends, I believe that Jesus has spoken tonight. Maybe for some of you, it's to become a Christian. You've never really encountered Jesus as your personal Savior and Lord. And tonight is the night that Jesus has spoken into your life. I want to say to you, never put it off. Maybe Jesus has spoken to you to accept him as your personal Savior and Lord. And won't you respond tonight? Maybe if Jesus has spoken to you and you want to do that, won't you just raise your hand? I want to pray for you. I want to mention you by name. Is there something like that in the service tonight that needs to respond to the call of Jesus? Is there anybody? And maybe Jesus has spoken to you. Thank you. Anybody else? Is there anybody else? Maybe tonight Jesus is speaking to you about your commitment. Maybe your commitment has grown cold. You're tired of serving Jesus. Maybe you've been tired of coming to church. But tonight, the Lord wants to turn that around because he's spoken to you. Won't you respond tonight and pray where you are? Maybe raise your hand and say, I want to respond by just putting my hand up and saying, Lord, I want to thank you. Anybody else? Anybody else? Thank you. Tonight, won't you pray and say, Lord, I want to get back on board with you. Lord, I want to be a kingdom person. I want to love God, love people, and serve nations. I want to be part of your mission. Won't you pray right now in the quietness of this evening? And say, Lord, I'm available. I want to avail myself to you and your mission. Maybe you're in school and you're looking ahead to what you want to do. And Jesus is saying to you, yes, I want you to become a Christian doctor or a missionary doctor or a Christian teacher or a Christian engineer, whatever it is. And tonight's the night when you say to Jesus, yes, Lord, whatever you want is where I'll go. Won't you do that tonight? Make that commitment between you and Jesus. Maybe your heart is just growing cold. Won't you pray tonight, Lord, I want to get back to the place where you want me to be. Father, we thank you that your word tells us that you are faithful and just. Lord, you forgive us our sin and you cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And oh God, tonight, this is the appointed night where you want to speak into our lives. Father, we avail ourselves to you. Lord, we confess our sin because you do forgive us. And Father, we ask that tonight you will commission us to be on mission with you, to climb in the boat and go out into the deep if that's what it's meant to be. Father, we offer our gifts. Lord, we offer our lives. And God, we pray, make us kingdom people. Lord, give us an understanding heart of your plans and purposes. Lord, open the right doors tonight. Lord, and bless those who have called upon you. We pray this all in your precious name. Amen.